Our topic today is light. We hope to answer the following four questions in the time allotted. What is light? What is the opposite of light? How are light and darkness used in the Bible? Why is it important to understand these polar opposites in the narrow way Jesus, the light of the world, has shown us to walk? What is light? According to the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, light is something that makes vision possible. That's a simple yet wonderful definition for physical beings that can see, as well as a wonderful analogy to the Bible. Visible light and the beautiful colors that are refracted from the light can only be appreciated by sentient creatures. The Bible makes spiritual vision possible. The Bible opens our eyes of faith to the God of the Bible, the creator of the heavens and the earth. The Apostle Paul says this in Romans 10:17. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The Cambridge Dictionary's first definition of light is the brightness that comes from the sun, fire, and from electrical devices, and that allows things to be seen. A bright light, fluorescent, ultraviolet light, a beam, ray of lights. The brightness that comes from the sun and allows things to be seen is a beautiful analogy to Christ, as he is described in Malachi 4:2 as the Son of Righteousness with healing in his wings. Jesus' life allows the heights and depths of God's attributes, love, justice, power, and wisdom to be seen. The full application of the Son of Righteousness is to Jesus and the church, Christ, head and body. As Matthew 13:43 says, then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun. During the Messianic age, the world will be enlightened with the knowledge of God by Christ and the church. This Son of Righteousness was pictured by Cyrus, whose name means sun. Cyrus's healing work was to restore the Israelites from captivity in Babylon to return to the land of Israel, to rebuild the temple to the Most High God so that they may worship God in their own land again. It was a restorative act, just as the times of restitution shall be. According to the Encyclopedia Britannica, light is electromagnetic radiation that can be detected by the human eye. Electromagnetic radiation occurs over an extremely wide range of wavelengths, from gamma rays to radio waves. Within the broad spectrum, the wavelengths visible to humans occupy a very small band, from about 700 nanometers, that's billionths of a meter, for red light, down to about 400 nanometers for violet light. The spectral regions adjacent to the visible band are often referred to as light also, infrared at the one end and ultraviolet at the other. The speed of light in a vacuum is a fundamental physical constant, the currently accepted value of which is exactly 299,792,458 meters per second, or about 186,282 miles per second. No single answer to the question, what is light, satisfies the many contexts in which light is experienced, explored, and exploited. The physicist is interested in the physical properties of light, the artist in an aesthetic appreciation of the visual world. Through the sense of sight, light is a primary tool for perceiving the world and communicating within it. Light from the sun warms the earth, drives global weather patterns, and initiates the life-sustaining process of photosynthesis. On the grandest scale, light's interactions with matter have helped shape the structure of the universe. Indeed, light provides a window on the universe from cosmological to atomic scales. Almost all of the information about the rest of the universe reaches Earth in the form of electromagnetic radiation. Unquote. There are seven types of electromagnetic radiation based on their wavelengths: radio waves, microwaves, infrared radiation, visible light, a very narrow slice of the electromagnetic radiation, ultraviolet radiation, X-rays, and the smallest, gamma rays. God's power, wisdom, and artistry is revealed to the natural eye, as the Apostle Paul says in Romans 1, 18 to 20. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because that which is known about God is evident within them. For God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. Yet the same apostle makes it clear there is still a far greater depth of God's love and wisdom not seen by the natural eye or mind, but revealed in the Bible to those seeking to serve God in spirit and in truth. This is in 1 Corinthians 2:14, 9 and 10, and Hebrews 11:3. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things of which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. That's talking about the atomic level. Our next question: what is the opposite of light? Darkness. The first definition of darkness in the Merriam-Webster dictionary says, devoid or partially devoid of light, not receiving, reflecting, transmitting, or radiating light, a dark room. The Cambridge Dictionary furnishes the definition of the fact of there being no light somewhere after the sun has gone down. Wikipedia goes into a bit more detail. Darkness, polar opposite to brightness, is understood to be the condition of a very small amount or even an absence of visible light. Humans are unable to distinguish color in conditions of either high brightness or darkness. In conditions of insufficient light, perception is achromatic and ultimately black. The emotional response to darkness has generated metaphorical usages of the term in many cultures. Complete darkness is when the sun is more than 18 degrees below the horizon. In terms of physics, an object is said to be dark when it absorbs photons, causing it to appear dim compared to other objects. For example, matte black paint does not reflect much visible light and appears dark, whereas white paint reflects lots of light and appears bright. A dark area has limited light sources, many things hard to see, or making things hard to see, unquote. Ralph Waldo Emerson said, when it is dark enough, you can see the stars. How are light and darkness used in the Bible? Light and darkness are shown to be polar opposites. They are used in contrast to one another, just as they are in nature. The first chapter of the Bible begins with the creation of the heavens and the earth. In Genesis 1, verses 3 to 5, darkness covers the surface of the deep. God says, let there be light, and there was light. God separated the light from the darkness, calling the light day and the darkness night on the first day. The sun as the greater light to rule the day, and the moon as the lesser light to rule the night. Light is used as a metaphor for God, our Father in heaven, for his Son Jesus, for righteousness, for wisdom, understanding, for joy and uplifting hope. Light is spoken of in the Holy Scriptures as a metaphor for spiritual truth, the Word of God, as in Psalms 119:105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So not only for the short term or the immediate future ahead of us, but for the long term, a light unto our path. God is looking out for us every step of the way for our future blessing and uplifting for the world of mankind. The Apostle James tells us, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom can be no variation, neither shadow that is cast by turning. James 1:17. The Apostle John writes, the truth he was taught from Jesus, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. 1 John 1:5. Here we have the ultimate contrast between light and darkness. God is light. This is true on a physical and spiritual level. On the physical level, God told Moses on Mount Sinai, when Moses was to receive the law the second time from God, that no man can see me and live. This is in Exodus 33:18-23. Then Moses said, I pray thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I myself will make all my goodness pass before you, and will proclaim the name of the Lord before you, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show compassion on whom I will show compassion. Aren't those wonderful attributes of God? Grace. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and show compassion on whom I will show compassion. He goes on, but he said, you cannot see my face, for no man can see me and live. Then the Lord said, behold, there's a place by me, and you shall stand there on the rock. And it will come about while my glory is passing by that I will put you in the cleft of the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will take my hand away, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. Moses, as a human being, could not be in the presence of the glory of God. God doesn't explain the physical science as to why this would occur, but it is clear that the light, power, and energy from the eternal God would be far too great for any human being. God sheltered Moses in the cleft of the rock to protect him from his glory, the great and brilliant light and power of his being. This appears to be similar to the glimpse the Apostle Paul was permitted to see of Jesus after he was glorified to the divine nature. When Paul was on the way to Damascus to bind the followers of Jesus and bring them back to Jerusalem, Jesus appears to him in a flash of light. This light blinded Paul until Ananias was sent to him to restore his sight. This is in Acts 9:3-8. The Apostle John says of Jesus in John 1:4-5, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. John describes the pure life, the loving life, the sacrificial life Jesus led as the light of the human race. The light Jesus shone in his compassionate words and conduct is contrasted with the darkness, the selfish and proud words and conduct of the world. The darkness, the world's thinking and corrupt values, could not comprehend the light, the mercy, love, justice, forgiveness, and faithfulness that Jesus taught. In John 8:12, Jesus says, he is the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in the darkness, but shall have the light of life. In Proverbs 4:18, the path or way of life of the righteous is like the light of dawn that shines brighter and brighter until the full day. Darkness, in contrast, is used as a metaphor for evil, wicked or evil people, for depressed times or times of mourning, for gloom and for folly. Satan is not called darkness, but the prince of darkness. Darkness is his arena. In Proverbs 4:19, the way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. Solomon, under the pseudonym of the preacher, observes in Ecclesiastes 2:13-14, that wisdom excels folly as light excels darkness. The wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walks in darkness. The implication being that the wise person walks in the light and refuses to walk in darkness, where an injury or death could occur because you can't see the path in front of you and you stumble and fall, and possibly to your death. In Isaiah 5:20, the prophet Isaiah proclaims, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness. Although this applied to Israel at the time, it also describes our day well. The light of truth, justice, love, and sacrifice taught in Scripture is evil spoken of and branded intolerant or extreme. On the other hand, the relativity of morals, the teaching of no absolute truth, and instead that anyone's philosophical truth is equal to that of the Bible is spoken well of and called tolerance. In reality, the tolerance is extended only to those who agree with those embracing the same view. How much tolerance do those receive throughout the world today who embrace the God of the Bible and the truth that is taught in its pages? Jesus said, "If the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness?" This applies well to Lucifer, who was one of two bright morning stars. His name even means brightness. His light became darkness so quickly when he deceived Eve into eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He became a liar and a murderer. Since then, he has continued to practice evil. The only time he transforms into an angel of light or healing is to deceive. Darkness that could be felt was applied as the ninth plague on the people and land of Egypt. In 2 Samuel 22:29, David likens the Lord to a lamp. He says, "The Lord illumines my darkness." When David had his low points and was feeling depressed, the Lord was a light in his downcast heart. 2 Samuel 22:29. "For thou art my lamp, O Lord, and the Lord illumines my darkness." In Psalm 11:2, David also brings out how the wicked bend the metaphorical bow to shoot arrows of darkness at the upright in heart. Psalm 11:2, "For behold, the wicked bend the bow. They make ready their arrow upon the string to shoot in darkness at the upright in heart." When the Israelites were fleeing from Pharaoh and his army, Exodus 14:20, the cloud that went before Israel went behind them, and it created darkness for Pharaoh and his army and light for the Israelites at night. So the angel of the Lord protected Israel with light to dispel darkness and preserve life and cast darkness on the Egyptian army attempting to enslave the Israelites again. In the last chapter of the Bible, Revelation 22:5 speaks of no night, nor need of a lamp or the light of the sun, because the Lord God shall illumine them. As the book of Revelation is a book of symbols, it is not the literal night or a literal lamp or literal sun. No night or darkness is referring to after the millennial age and little seas in our past. All evil will be vanquished. As Revelation 21:4 says, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." There will be no need of the light from a lamp, the law of God, and the sun, the gospel, or the good news of the kingdom of God, because the kingdom has accomplished its work. Every human being who has loved God and his righteous principles and has been brought to perfection mentally, morally, and physically, fully tested and proven worthy, will reign over the restored earth according to the original design for Father Ab. Why is it important to understand the polar opposites of light and darkness in the narrow way Jesus, the light of the world, has shown us to walk? First, it is important because we have chosen God. We believe him and love him and embrace the light and love in his word and the love he has shown us in giving his only son to die for us and the whole world of mankind. So we don't want to be in darkness or have darkness in us. We choose light and need to know what it is and what it's not. Second, it is important because if we're living the way of life Jesus lived, one of love for God, for our brothers and sisters in Christ, love for our enemies, self-denial, and embracing the truth and righteousness, then we will be in the light and not in darkness. On either side of the way, to the right and to the left, are the shadows or darkness of the world in contrast to the light. Jesus says of those following him and living the same way of life in Matthew 5:14, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Jesus' followers become lights themselves. Instead of casting a shadow, we dispel shadows by being a light in our thoughts, in our prayers, in our words, and in our conduct toward others. Finally, it is important because we don't want to be gray, a mixture of light and darkness. In Revelation 3, 15 and 16, part of the message to the church of Laodicea is that you are neither cold, refreshing, nor hot, healing, but lukewarm. When we're somewhere in the middle, we're gray. Instead of being zealous, we're ambivalent, losing the refreshing and healing power of the truth. Let us not lose our zeal, but let God's love and truth burn within us, full of faith, bright lights, a city set on a hill to brighten the hearts of those still looking for the truly good news of God's kingdom and glorify our Father in heaven. Amen.